B-Pod Studios.
Welcome to Wrestling Inside the Ropes with James Stewart.
I'm the best. I'm the best in the world. I've been the best ever since day one when I walked into this company, and I've been vilified and hated since that day.
And Mike Sarge Riley.
I don't know if you realize it or not, but you're trespassing on private property. When you walk through here, through these ropes, you're in my yard. Bad things happen in my yard.
Wrestling Inside the Ropes.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 985thesportshub.com and on the 985 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. We are recording this after WWE Stomping Grounds. I've hit the record button at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time. I woke up about 10:10 or so.
Yep.
I woke up as Lacey Evans was changing the match from into a no disqualification match. I fell asleep on my couch at some point during the Roman Reigns match.
Okay.
I don't know how people want to read that, but I just want to be real with the people and be like, I got to go back and watch Kofi and Dolph in a cage and Seth Rollins versus Baron Corbin with Lacey and Becky, and the finish was a little hokey, and it seems like on social media people don't like the fact that Seth and Becky are on TV couple now, but I just got to be honest, there's a patch of that show that I was dreaming about. I was dreaming during.
Did Charlotte Flair appear at all in the dreams, or are you just going to keep
no,
that?
No, but I did appreciate the fact that she was in the gorilla position when Ricochet won the United States Championship, which for me was, I was torn because I love Samoa Joe and I love Ricochet, but I was happy to see Ricochet win the U.S. title. Maybe Joe is going on to bigger and better things somewhere else.
Right.
Time will tell. Push.
Yeah, no, it's might be the end of that feud, and looks like we're going to see Ricochet and AJ Styles, and here he is here getting the push out of NXT, and as a champion, less than 6 months at the main roster, so very good for him. And as I did tweet out, best music for a main roster superstar today. Don't at me.
Well, I think that's because I played it for what a
you did play it a lot. I mean, that's not why.
7 weeks after Bruins games.
Listen, that was that was very good play. And you know what? He did retweet my tweet on that with you in there. So you're welcome. But I do.
He liked my tweet the other night when I said he was a good guy and one of my favorite performers.
Yeah, and he liked my tweet tonight when someone said, "Oh, I hope I didn't think that I took a shot at Ricochet saying it wasn't the best." And I said, "That's for him to decide, not you." So. Don't troll this guy. Ricochet may be the future of the company. He is the real deal.
On Raw, it's going to be AJ Styles against Ricochet, it looks like.
Yeah, I'd be down with that. Give him another good push.
Yeah, so. 100%. I wonder if AJ Styles is going to retweet a tweet of mine and like a tweet and then unretweet it and unlike it. Because
that was pretty interesting, huh? After you put that out there with the reunion of the club.
And it was a retweet before the segment was over, and then when I woke up the next morning, it was unretweeted. So somebody didn't want it out there. I think a little known fact is that WWE controls some people's social medias on top of the people who are actually in charge of their own social medias.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be a case of AJ Styles seeing it, liking it, retweeting it, and somebody from WWE being like, yeah, we don't want that retweeted. We don't want that out there.
Right, right. And you know what? If they're paying you the bills, if they're kind of having a little bit of control on stuff like that, you got to obey the boss more or less. You got to say, all right, well, you know what? We don't want it out there. But in the end, it is freedom of speech. But still, be very cautious of what you put out there. So I'm sure they've had a little slap in the wrist before, once or twice.
What was the social media thing you were starting to mention to me before I hit the record button?
Yeah. All I was saying was, if you notice Daniel Bryan's tweet, he did make a comment about give tag team wrestling a chance. And here, let me pull up the exact thing. It was in the hashtag tag team.
So his tweet at, I just pulled
give
it
tag
up,
teams a chance. Yeah.
8:32 p.m. After Brian and Rowan had retained their tag team championship, which was a, which that one match did more to get Heavy Machinery over than however many months of matches and promos and skits they've done at all. So Brian's tweet was, Mr. Small Package strikes again. One of the hashtags was, give tag teams a chance, tag team revolution.
Yeah, and give tag teams a chance, what I was starting to say was, I just think it's a foreshadow. I really do. I think it's a foreshadow for the WWE. I'm sure you had numerous people listening to the Tony Khan interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin, but I think it's going to be a foreshadow of them stepping up their A game for the tag teams in the WWE because they know what AEW has planned for their tag team division after hearing the boss talk about it with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Not for nothing, but that's a little bit hypocritical of Daniel Bryan because the rumors were that he was going to go to AEW because his contract expired midnight the day of their show, the night of their show.
Yeah.
So I wonder if that is a WWE company social media person doing that or whether that is Bryan doing that, being asked to do the social media thing.
A little bit of both.
It there could be a little bit of both. The Seth Rollins tweet about being the best pro wrestling company
was interesting too,
because he used the term wrestling, which is something that I know that some people in WWE don't want used,
mm-hmm.
even though Johnny Gargano is Johnny Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But on the main roster, it's sports entertainment. Like, he's the greatest sports entertainer of all time. She's the greatest sports entertainer of time. It's part of WWE's vernacular. So for Seth to use wrestling in a tweet, but I mean, it is a wrestling company, right?
And to have Chris Jericho quote tweet it with a little smiling face there too. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that's...
So he knows what's going on. And yeah, that's an interesting fact right there too. I thought the... this is going to be, you know, now we're at a stage where before, you know, years ago with the WWE and the WCW or WWF, I should say at the time, now in the social media age, it's going to be really interesting to see how this all pans out here, what they can say, what is going to be held back, if things are going to be deleted, similar to what you had retweeted and then deleted by AJ Styles just last week. It's going to be, very interesting how it all pans out over the next few months.
I just feel like for this company is just very overprotective of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they need to be. Like, for example, if they just let their performers, I don't know, be performers, do what they've been trained for years to do, and that's go out and be professional wrestlers or sports entertainers, whatever term you want to call them, they've 251 wrestlers, superstars have made it to this point where WWE has wanted to sign them to a contract. So they see something in them. So let them do the job that you're paying them to do. At some point, you have to let the talent be the talent and do stuff. And you know, transitioning back to the pay-per-view that you watched all of, and I watched all but, you know, 90 minutes of it. You know, Becky and Lacey had a really good match. Yeah, Lacey had some issues in there, but it was a really good story. Like, one of the things that stood out to me was Becky hurt her ribs and Lacey went to work on the ribs. And that's something that inside match storytelling isn't always consistent. And that was a good thing.
Right.
New Day had a great, had an excellent match with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And the story, of course, of that match is Kevin Owens winning the match, and he's probably going to get back into the title fight now. So that is storytelling. Ricochet wins the U.S. title over Samoa Joe. Again, a good match in the ring, and a good story is being told of Ricochet winning the championship. And if you watch when he gets the title and he gets the win, there's authentic joy there. Like, holy cow, I'm actually a champion in the WWE. Like, that's the good stuff right there.
Damn right. And go ahead.
And you've got Brian and Rowan beating Heavy Machinery. You know, like I said before, they've done they did more in that time of match to get Heavy Machinery over as a tag team than they've done on the main roster programming ever since.
Right.
And I remember you sent me a text message about this being a sleeper show or this being a great show. And that first hour, again, WWE having a really good first hour, and then Bayley versus Bliss was a good match, and there's another story in it. Cross took a bullet for Bliss on that dive to the outside from Bayley, but then Nikki let her emotions get the best of her and cost Alexa Bliss the championship during that match.
Yep, exactly. And now you're going to have another, like you said, a story there, and then Nikki Cross going to be involved. So that'll take you for at least another pay-per-view, maybe even two, going toward the end of the summer. I mean, you know, I know you didn't see the Roman Reigns-Drew McIntyre match, but Jimmy, I thought that was the best Roman Reigns match since he came back from his illness. He looked great. And I thought, you know, that they teased that, oh, this is going to be the end of this feud here between Roman and Drew McIntyre. But on Raw, we're going to see Shane McMahon in Drew McIntyre in a handicap match. So it's still going to go on for a little bit. You know, going into it, in that text message I was telling you, I had very low expectations going into this pay-per-view.
Everybody did. And,
yeah. And you know what? Sometimes those are the best ones, that when you have the low expectations, aim low in life. You don't want to have high expectations and be let down. I thought it was a solid pay-per-view. It was a good show. And the crowd was small. We know about the ticket scenario. It looked like they kept moving the crowd down. At times, it seemed like it felt like a house show crowd, more or less. It felt like, I don't know, I kind of was, it took me back almost like 30 years ago to a WWF Superstars show with a small crowd, something like that. It just didn't seem like a real on top of the action pay-per-view. I thought they were really into it with Daniel Bryan with the recycling chants. That was really cool. It was funny too. But at the end, there was some hate there with the Lacey Evans referee match and consistently chanting CM Punk, AEW, this is boring. And thank God the Lacey Evans made that a no DQ, and you have Becky come out there to kind of keep the crowd back into it. So that was huge. So overall, I gave it a 4-star out of 5 pay-per-view.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Are you okay with WWE telling the story that, yeah, Seth and Becky are really dating and implementing it into their week-to-week programming? Because it seems like a lot of people on social media don't like it.
I don't have a problem with it. It's not that I want it to happen, but I don't have a problem with it. It's definitely a different time where, you know, we know what's going on, and that's why Seth Rollins put that post out there before the Becky Lynch documentary debuted after her winning the two championships at WrestleMania, because they showed them, you know, having moments together before and after, and he put out the thing, yep, we're officially an item. And then, of course, they decide they can ride off with the story. So I don't mind it. I'm not crazy about it, but it's 2019. They're taking advantage of letting people know of real life scenarios behind the scenes, and they're bringing it to a real life stage, to a fictional stage, I should say, but a non fictional scenario on a fictional stage. I don't know if it meshes so well, but I'm still okay with it. It doesn't bother me. How about you?
So it doesn't bother me either, because WWE is trying to blur these lines.
Mm-hmm.
And if people know, if people are smart to it, then why not? Like, if you think that you can help a storyline by putting these two together on TV, then why not?
Right.
And you know, these are your two champions, so go for it and help and hope that it doesn't end up like John Cena and Nikki Bella.
Right, right. And you know what? Now you just have another opportunity right here after the main event. You're going to see Becky and Seth Rollins in a mixed tag match with Lacey Evans and Baron Corbin. It's only a matter of time. Probably happen tomorrow night.
Yeah, and you know, if that draws, that draws. But like, there, WWE is just trying to do... They're just trying to do things because they have so much programming to fill up. So I think that's why you're seeing it. And Seth and Becky are obviously okay with it.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
Like, they're both champions, and they probably were pitched the idea, what do you think? And right. you know, they were kept together on the same brand. I mean, right. look at all the shuffling that they did to get, you know, Charlotte, of course, did the power play to, you know, get Andrade on that show, and they had to move Aleister Black and, you know, all. And I say that in jest. I don't think that that actually happened, but that seems to be the internet. I think what happened in the case of the brand split is they looked at the roster and they were like, nah, we can change this. We can change this, because they have a history of that when they've done these shakeups of just moving people. And now it doesn't matter because they have the wild card rule, which I think last week they had 8 wild cards.
Yeah, and again, you heard my rant last week on that, and I'm not going to go balls to the wall on it like I did last week, but the wild card rule sucks, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, and I think some of the promotional material to Fox has changed drastically.
I hope so.
In the last few weeks.
So, yeah, excuse me, not the I hope so. I hope it will stay that way.
So I they might walk into October with Shane McMahon as the WWE champion. Let that burn.
Yeah. You really think that's going to... So at SummerSlam, huh?
It might not be SummerSlam. It might be a different show, but look at who Shane has beaten.
I know. The last best few in the world.
And,
yeah. Hmm.
And it's just... It's what it is. I mean, Vince became the champion.
Happened on SmackDown. SmackDown.
The McMahon power, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you book yourself on top of the territory.
Sure. Do what you want. That's what happens when you're the boss. If you don't mind, Jimmy, speaking of the WWE champion, Kofi Kingston, that match with Dolph Ziggler, I know you didn't
see it. Yeah, I'll go back and watch it for sure, because it's Dolph and Kofi, and they're two of my favorites.
It was great. Good steel cage match. Good finish. I mean, I really hope Dolph Ziggler is around for... you know, the long run here. He doesn't go away for a little bit and stays in the picture here. I hope he gets another shot.
The early promotional material for Extreme Rules has Dolph, Kofi, and Bryan in a triple threat, or it's Dolph, Kofi, and Kevin Owens in a triple threat, something like that.
I'd be fine with that. I think that's great. And, you know, just to see those two do their work, I thought it was a really good match, and they told a good story. Steel cage, you know, it's definitely the prop there. Just thinking about the steel cage match, I mean, it's not too long ago where you have the referee in on the match now. Years ago, during a steel cage match, the referee was always outside. So there's some, you know, obviously interesting angles there now with the official involved directly in the match while it's going on. But, you know, a good finish there for Kofi to retain, and just... again, I think everyone on the back of their head, it's like, okay, it's only a matter of time before Big E makes the turn. It's only a matter of time, especially with the New Day losing tonight, too. I thought that it could have happened. It could have happened with Big E turning on Kofi or invading in the match, but it just seems like it is inevitable when it will happen, a turn against his tag team partner.
So as I read about this, because I fell asleep during the show, sorry. the finish came when Ziggler was crawling out of the cage and Kofi leaped through the second rope over Ziggler for the win.
Yeah, it was kind of cool. It was pretty cool. He was ready to go as his hands were down on the mat, on the outside mat. And then you're right. Yeah, as what you just read on the description there, Kofi comes out, jumps right over him, and he wins just like that. Boom. So it was a pretty cool finish.
Good match. Anything else from Stomping Ground before we get to a few newsy stuff?
Just thought it was overall, like I said, low expectations going into it. Solid pay-per-view. Small arena. Daniel Bryan, I thought, definitely had the biggest pop and the biggest crowd reaction. And, you know, we'll see what happens here going into the Extreme Rules. But a lot of things, I think, are getting the foundation set up here for SummerSlam.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
In just a couple of months.
So a few weeks ago, I said on this very podcast, I was of the opinion that Sasha Banks had worked her last match in WWE. I'm no longer of that opinion. Mm-hmm. What changed my mind? Banks had a meeting with Vince, and from my understanding, talking to some people, it feels like they figured out their issues. To tell you why I believed what I believed, I think Banks was legally trying to find a way out of her contract. And now she can't, and she's got to work WWE. And I think that they are going to implement some of that into her future stories once she re-debuts on TV, and they're going to play up all of her social media and probably why she left the company or took a leave of absence. I don't know if they're going to get into specifics as to how she was trying to get out of the company, but I think a lot of the stuff that you see on her social media is going to be part of their television programming going forward.
Well, I mean, that's going to be, and they can do what they want, obviously, when she's under contract, and that's not the worst thing in the world for her to, you know, you want to get out of the contract, and then you're working again for the WWE. You've strived to make it to that position, so good for Sasha trying to put her foot down there and do whatever she could, but it just seems like almost, I don't want to say career suicide for her, but just it wouldn't be the best scenario for her to leave under those conditions. So if they can play off a real-life scenario like that, they've done it before, they're doing it now, and for other things that have happened outside, behind the scenes, it's nothing really new. So I heard the interview you had with Ilya, very good interview. Go listen to it, Jimmy and Ilya Markopoulos, chaotic wrestler. And Ilya made the comment, too, that he thinks that Sasha will indeed be back. And that's I thought that the whole time. Like, I don't know. I think she's just taking a little break. And now you can really have her go after Bayley maybe here on out or something like that, make a surprise return at some point. But I think that, you know, that kind of really put it over the top. When Ilya said he thinks she'll be back, that really put it over the top for me, too.
So, and
good interview, too, by the way, Jimmy.
When you're talking about, like, legally trying to find a way out of a contract, when I was told that to me was like, okay, she's done with this company. Because that's a big step.
Sure, legally. The term legal, like, what? But what, something had to have pissed her off.
Yeah, she thought that her and Bayley were going to get a run with the tag team, the women's tag team championship, and make it mean something. And then the day of WrestleMania, the finish came out, and she was not happy about it.
But then when you have your...
But here's the thing, Mike, is that there are people who believe in wins and losses.
Right.
In a worked environment, there are people who really think that they should be winning every match.
Yeah.
And I think she falls into that category. For right or wrong, right? Because I think she holds some bitterness over, this is just me speculating, she holds bitterness over other female wrestlers who got bigger spotlights than she did, and she got and wrestlers who got bigger wins than she did. Even though the WWE has this way of showcasing different people in different ways. They're passive aggressive like we all are, right?
Of course they are.
In how they want to, so we'll use WrestleMania in Dallas as an example.
Mm-hmm.
That was when they debuted the women's championship, the new one, when they called it the women's and not the divas.
Right.
Charlotte wins that one, right? In a match that Charlotte would tell you she needed to win to cement who she was.
Sure.
Becky Lynch was part of that as kind of like a third wheel, even though if you had been following the program, Charlotte and Becky at the time were doing the best storytelling week to week.
Right.
And they had been since about December.
Mm-hmm.
And Sasha Banks was kind of thrown into that match at the last minute because Snoop Dogg had agreed to sing her to the ring.
So, her cousin.
Snoop is Sasha Banks' cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And so she gets put in that match, and Sasha Banks had already a lot of momentum going into that match as being like the next one, as the next superstar. So Becky loses the match, Charlotte wins the match, and the Sasha Banks showcase is Snoop Dogg is singing her to the ring.
Right.
And that's how they look at it, because then Sasha Banks was pretty much not used until the summer when Sasha beat Charlotte for the women's title and they exchanged the titles back and forth from, say, mid-August until late December.
Yeah, exactly. And they had the first Hell in the Cell and a lot of historic things there for the first time for the women's revolution. And I thought going into that WrestleMania 32 match that Sasha was going to win.
And really, so did 100,000 other people, by the way.
Yeah, it seemed like, you know, then if it weren't for Ric Flair to, interfere and be the dirtiest player in the game, live up to that name, she would have had that championship. She would have been the first ever women's champion of the new revolution there for the women. So, yeah, I mean, for her to come back in this scenario and, you know, for her to be unhappy with the women's tag team titles, which she did fight for with Bayley around this time last year. There was a lot of heavy talk with it. It's going to happen, only a matter of time. I can understand the frustration, but from a business standpoint, she's got to look at it that life could be a lot worse, and she's in a really good position of where she is financially. But I guess in the end, you got to be happy with anything you do in life. So if you're not happy, then get out of it. But good for her and good for them to have that come to Jesus moment and get her back in the mix there. I'm excited to see her return to the squared circle.
One other WWE note I want to mention here, and then there's a few AEW notes that I want to talk about. Mike and Maria Kanellis both signed new 5-year contracts. I'm reading from Meltzer right now. No money figures are available, but everyone we've heard from has gotten new offers significantly higher, as in like double in some cases of what they were making on their prior deals. But the key takeaway is it looks like every deal now is 5 years instead of 3, with the idea of locking everybody down for long periods of time so they can't go anywhere. Meltzer also notes that still only 16% of, even if they double everybody, meaning they give every superstar, every wrestler double what they're making, it's only still 16% of the 2018 revenue. And with the new TV deals in place, it'll be 11% at the new rate.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And Mike Kanellis. I know. It's
so
weird.
Funny. I love it. It's funny. Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
If only he could be more featured on 205 Live.
I know. And a champion.
So he did a Twitter question and answer today. Mm-hmm. And
there's a lot of those.
Yeah, he does. He's very active on social media. He's very good. And
very open, too.
Yes. Yep. And one of his Twitter questions was, what made him decide to re-sign with WWE? And he said, quote, two things I asked myself. One, what's best for my family? And did I accomplish everything I set out to accomplish in WWE? So that reads to me is that they got paid a lot of money. Yep. And I know for a fact that Mike's dream has been to be a WWE superstar.
Yep.
So if at one point in Mike's life he was using the Coinstar machine to buy food, and they're and the company that he wants to work for is giving him a 5-year contract at a good amount of money, then he's going to stay there and hope that he can get to where he wants to go there.
Yeah, and you can't turn that down. That's quite the opportunity for him. And, you know, I said last week here about the Edge and Christian podcast that he had a couple of years ago, and I just remember that quote he said about signing on with the WWE before he did. He had that itch, like, in his brain to, you know, really go there. And now he's been able to live at that dream and be a part of that company. So he is doing that, and obviously he does have goals. He set the bar high, which is very good, and I hope he does get the push that he deserves. And, you know, he again, like I said, with the Twitter questions and so forth, he's very open about stuff, and he deserves go to his social media page. He was tweeting tonight talking about 205. When can I have a shot at a championship, or when can 205 be on a pay-per-view, more or less, or just give me more opportunities? He said it many times. So if he's being open about it, and if he's going to talk about stuff like that, I think he will get that shot and kind of reinvent himself even more, especially with this 5-year deal, and live up to the expectations.
Or they just paid him and gave him hush money.
You could. I'm a believer in Mike Bennett.
Yeah,
been around him a couple of times, and a good guy, Jim.
Yeah, Mike and Maria are they've always been really good to me.
Yeah,
and
two good people.
Yeah, and you hope for the best for them. In my mind, they took the money because they're smart, and Maria's a smart business person, and Maria, I think, has a lot to avenge for from her previous WWE run. She doesn't want to be remembered as the ditzy promo girl, and it's been Mike's dream. And if you look at how Mike worked in other promotions, Mike always worked a WWE style.
He really did. Yeah, he really did. And I just hope that he gets the chance that he's able to live up to for his goals.
All Elite Wrestling filed a new trademark, which might be the indication of a possible night for their TV airing in the fall. They filed a trademark on June 19th, Wednesday Night Dynamite. Last year, the company had filed for a trademark for Tuesday Night Dynamite. So the new filing could be an indication of where they're going. There's nothing official yet, but I felt like that their best programming idea would be Wednesday night, because it would keep them away from the NBA on TNT, which is usually Tuesdays and Thursdays. So then they would be consistently, except for when the playoffs came around, although the NBA playoffs could be moved to ESPN. I think ESPN does the Wednesday, Friday, and TNT does the Tuesday, Thursday packages, with ABC doing Saturday and Sundays.
That sounds right.
So Wednesday night, probably 8 to 10. We talked about how they're going to do tag team wrestling, tag team tournament most likely. I think they're going to announce the women's championship at the Chicago show.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can have a gaudy belt like they brought out at Double or Nothing a few weeks ago,
yep,
they're in good case. They're in a good spot because then they'll have a men's heavyweight, a women's championship, and then men's and women's tag team championship. So, which I think he gave the impression during the Steve Austin podcast that there would be a women's tag team title down the line.
Yeah, they're going to introduce that and make that division pretty serious. And, you know, just I know we're sticking on the notes, but I just want to touch on one thing, if you don't mind, Jimmy. With your tweet earlier today, you asked your favorite wrestling pay-per-view of all time. And, you know, I quote tweeted that, and one individual commented and they said Double or Nothing. I thought that was really like, wow, it was a good pay-per-view, but I don't know if it was the best I've ever seen in my lifetime. So for someone to say that, they really are in on Double or on the AEW product here, which actually is not even a 100% in full capacity, even with the weekly TV show, is what I'm trying to say. So that says a lot right there.
So what I found from that question was the variety of responses, which mm-hmm. I loved. I absolutely loved. And
see mine?
It was WrestleMania 14 and I
SummerSlam 91.
Yeah, SummerSlam 91.
Yeah. What's yours, by the way?
I'd have to break it down into companies.
Okay, that's fair.
Because I've seen so many. I don't mean to avoid your question, but
no, that's fair.
It's
your question.
I always get on people for not having opinions, so I
save it for another time.
I ask the question, and I have to break it down into different companies because companies are different, and yeah. it's different layered. Like, if I had to pick one overall, I don't know that I could do it. And I hate that as an answer because one day it's Barely Legal from ECW, and then it's Heatwave 98 from ECW, and then it's ECW One Night Stand. Or yep. in the case of WCW, it's the Great American Bash 1989, or sure. it's Slamboree 1998, where Dean Malenko pulls the hood off, mm-hmm. or it's WrestleMania 17, or WrestleMania 4, or WrestleMania 28, or this past WrestleMania. It just depends on
yep.
what day Somebody. It is, or it's Money in the Bank from Chicago, where CM mm-hmm. Punk beat John Cena. Like, yep. I just, the answer varies day to day.
That's
for
fair.
Me. Yep. Which I hate because I like having like a definitive, like clear cut, this yeah. is it. And I just, yeah. I don't have that.
No, it's fine. Yeah.
At yeah. least in this case,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, you know, Finn Balor is my favorite wrestler, but last week it was Daniel Bryan, you know, it just,
right. It changes.
I was torn between Samoa Joe and Ricochet.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Because
I love Joe as a champion, but I think Joe should be in the main event picture. Meanwhile, Ricochet gets his first singles championship in WWE, and that's good. Yeah. That's good stuff.
Sure, it's good. It's good for business.
But I hate being wishy washy on questions.
It's fine.
It's like here's a take, go. But
yeah, think it over.
I didn't have it. That's why I never answered my own question because I didn't really have one. I didn't have an answer to it.
So well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. Good. You should put me on the spot. You should challenge me more. It's better for ratings.
Yeah.
Even though ours are still pretty good.
That's right.
So that's the AEW note. One other thing I did notice from Meltzer, he had a note about Arn Anderson. He said Arn Anderson is legally not allowed to talk with AEW, but Meltzer wouldn't be surprised if he didn't wind up there. Right now, he legally can't talk as there is a severance package from WWE for the next several months. And Arn Anderson had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. So he can't talk about many aspects of his time there. I felt that was the case with him where he didn't sign up with AEW very quickly is that WWE kind of paid him hush money.
Yeah.
And also I had seen an interview with him down in Rhode Island that was very brief mm-hmm. and it wasn't at all about his wrestling career. It was about hyping up an event he was at. Right. So that right there triggered that, you know, he gets to have some time off and get a paycheck and which is good because he should. He's been on the road for a long time. And yep. he deserves good things as far as I can tell. Mm-hmm. So I kind of, you know, it's good that Meltzer writes about that, but I kind of saw that coming.
Yep. And, you know, it was, he got released from the contract, what, about 3-4 weeks before WrestleMania this year, right?
Well, supposedly he got fired.
Well, yeah.
But if he got he got fired for letting, who was it, fight while she was impaired.
Yeah, and then, you know, who the hell was it? I know who you're talking about.
Alicia Fox.
Fox, thank you, yeah. And then, you know, he had the relationship with John Cena, which he was his agent, more or less. So that made it even a little more fishy, like, ooh, what's going on there? So good for Arn Anderson. He's done the autograph stuff, you know, WrestleCon, and he was down at the New England Fan Fest in Rhode Island. And I know he's got a couple of other ones booked up here for over the next couple of months independently. So if he's able to get back to work and be an advisor, I think that's a step in the right direction there for the AEW product.
The next pay-per-view on my schedule is Ring of Honor's Best in the World pay-per-view. That's on Friday. Where Matt Taven is defending his championship against Jeff Cobb. They have a number of other matches scheduled for that show, but Friday night, Ring of Honor, Best in the World pay-per-view. It's coming from Baltimore, Maryland. You might want to check that out. Ring of Honor is here locally in Lowell, July 21st. That is a Sunday night. Also, Evolve Wrestling is in Melrose, July 14th.
It's also the same night as the WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah, WWE loses.
It's interesting.
Yeah. They have Evolve will have Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, and Matt Riddle available for meet and greets. Riddle is fighting Kurt Stallion, and I am not up to speed on the Evolve product. I will become up to speed with the Evolve product, but Matt Riddle was quoted as saying, "This match is going to change the world."
Wow. No kidding.
So that is pretty strong. Pretty strong words there.
They're all available for meet and greet. That's pretty darn good.
Yes, exactly. And really good. That'll be good stuff. I've heard really good things about the Evolve product. If everything scheduling-wise comes to fruition, I will be at that show. I'll be at the Ring of Honor show as well. I know, Mike, you're trying to figure out plans around it. To
definitely Evolve.
Attend at least one of them.
Yes, definitely. That's at the top, and maybe the Ring of Honor one too. I'd love to go to that. There's one other one coming up too here in the New England area too, Jimmy. The last Sunday of July. Boy, the Sundays are hot here in Foxwoods. At Foxwoods, going to be Beyond. Did you hear about this?
Yeah, Beyond Wrestling at Foxwoods. So American Rana is their WrestleMania.
Yep, and that's going to be the last Sunday of July. The Rock and Roll Expresser making an appearance, which will be kind of cool. Local guy, Anthony Green.
That's your boy.
He'll be there. Yeah, it's my boy. Good man. Great kid, too. Great kid. Saw him a couple of years ago live in action, finally, for Chaotic. Ilya knows him very well. Some good talent there. So Foxwoods, wrestling, gambling, don't get better than that, kids.
Well, when do we get the Encore Casino Wrestling Show?
When were we able to do a show there for that?
Hey, if they pony it, hey, we're up for the highest bidder, so you want to pay us some money, we'll throw our tent up somewhere.
That's right.
Mike, any closing thoughts?
Just two things. I just want to touch on the Ricochet. When he was back there in the gorilla position, you notice everyone patting him on the back, congratulating him. But you did see Triple H go out there too. And I just thought, you know, we got a comment from, I think it was Mayor of Carville on the Twitter saying that, you know, this might be Triple H running the pay-per-view here with Vince in the background, like not really calling too much of the shots. I'm sure Vince is still calling the shots. But if this is what we're going to get here for a pay-per-view like this and done by 10:15 Eastern Standard Time and kind of get that whole less is more product, and if Triple H is calling the shots like that, I'm all in. I really am. This is great. And I thought that was good what we saw tonight, a young blood individual get a push as a champion. Even the tag team match, the Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn one, I think those two work really well together. But Owens did comment this week that they might go take some time apart from each other. Good product with the cage match, the women's matches, everything. Solid pay-per-view. And if this is Triple H's pet, if he's the guy that's doing the majority of it, then this is good for WWE here on out.
Well, I think the reason why it's simple, as I'm looking at the Wikipedia page of Stomping Grounds, right?
Yep.
It's with the cruiserweights, which was on the pre-show, 9 matches on the show, right? 11 minutes, 11 minutes, 11 minutes, 12 minutes, 14 minutes, 10 minutes, 17 minutes, 20 minutes, 18 minutes. Those are rough numbers. There's seconds in there. There's 5 seconds or 25 seconds. But those are all, you have not 15 matches, Nope. Not trying to squeeze everybody in there. Finn Balor wasn't on the show tonight. Charlotte Flair wasn't on the show tonight.
That's right.
Those are two prime stars who weren't on the show. The Raw tag team titles weren't defended on the show.
Right.
So what you've got is you've condensed things a little bit, and you've put in no match was less than 10 minutes. So you're giving these wrestlers, these superstars, yep, time to tell their story in the ring. Mm-hmm. And I think they did a good job, notwithstanding the fact that I've got to go back and watch a couple matches, which I apologize. I wasn't fully prepared for the show, but I wanted to record this thing, and I wanted to be.
It was good.
I when I can, I'm fully in up front with everybody when be. I can't always.
You'll enjoy the show, Jimmy. I guarantee you'll be very pleased.
I just want to see that dive that Kofi did over Dolph to win the match. That sounds that reads well.
It's pretty cool. It was cool. I mean, I don't want to overhype it anymore for you, but it was good.
No, I think you underhyped it until I asked you to explain it.
Yeah, I'll leave it at that, because I never like to overhype it and have disappointments. So
you're a headlines guy. You got to all caps those headlines.
That's all you can do. Just before we do close, I do want to give James Stewart some props here, because next week, NBA free agency gets underway. He did a really good podcast with Angry Dan Lifshatz, who is the co-host of the Over Under podcast on 95 Sports Hub with Jeopardy Joe Murray, our good friend. Really good stuff, NBA gossip. If you're a basketball, even sports fan in general, go check it out. I was really impressed with their work on that. Not that I didn't know they didn't have any, you know, intel or whatnot, but I felt like I was listening to Wojnarowski and all these other big time guys, Stephen A. Smith. I was like, holy cow, this is unbelievable. So a good 20-25 minute listen. Sports fan, definitely NBA fan. It's a must for you before free agency gets underway next week.
Over 5,000 downloads for that podcast, by the way.
Wow, nice job.
Yeah,
make 5,001 after this one.
It outdrew some of the Felger and Maz show stuff podcasts.
Nice. Well, good work.
Each week, you can listen to Wrestling Inside the Ropes on the podcast page of 98.5thesportshub.com and on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. While you're there, check out all the other original podcasts available from Boston's Home for Sports. Our podcasts are also available at bpodstudios.com and in Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. For Mike Riley at Sarge985, the show's Twitter account is at WrestleCast985. You can follow me on Twitter at IamJamesStewart, and I have a steel cage match to go watch.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.